All right, good morning. Just a few technical difficulties, but we'll get underway. Welcome to the estimates of the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts and Recreation. Just a few, I'll signal the substitutions before we start. Substituting for the member of Beer and Grand Bank is Minister Lovelace. Substituting for the member for Exploits is MHA Dwyer. And substituting for the member for Placentia St. Mary's is Minister Studley. And again, good morning to you all. Just want to make sure that we, I don't see any of the independents here this morning, but if they do arrive, same thing, with 10 minutes each at the end, okay? Perhaps at around 10:30, we'll look at taking a break, just to see where we're to with the agenda. And with regards to the committee and the department, you're in seats that are set for the MHAs, so we're just asking not to fool with the seats. And with regards to the, your tally lights, just make sure that you identify yourself. If someone in the department is scheduled to speak, identify yourself, wait for your tally light, and go ahead and address the questions. Anyway, I will first ask for a mover for the adoption of the minutes. Moved by MHA Lucy Stahl, seconder. Minister Lovelace, all those in favor? Those against? Carried. Starting off with, we'll do some introductions this morning. I'll start off with Minister Studley.
Sarah Studley, MHA from El Sayo.
Lucy Stoyles, MHA, Mount Pearl North.
Elvis Loves, MHA, Fortune Bay, Cape Lahoon.
At Craig Party, Historic District of Bonavista.
Christine Baldwin, GMO.
Stephen Kent, Sessional Assistant for the Third Park.
Jordan Brown, member for Labrador West.
Glenn Littlejohn, researcher, official opposition.
Jeff Duard, MHA for Presidential West Bellevue.
And we'll start here.
Jerry Osman, Assistant Deputy Minister for Arts and Culture.
Caroline Gilliard, Assistant Deputy Minister for Tourism.
Steve Crocker, Minister of Tourism, Culture, Arts and Recreation.
Jamie O'Day, Deputy Minister of TCAR.
Bonnie Steele, Departmental Controller.
Ben Gardner, Assistant Deputy Minister of Film, Television, Sport, and Recreation.
Adrian Luther, Director of Communications, TCAR.
Matthew Worthman, Executive Assistant to Minister Crocker.
Okay, good morning. My name is Brian Ward, the MHA for Beaver Green Bay, and joining me at the table today is Kim Hammond. I will ask the clerk to call the first set of subheads, please.
1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive, executive and support services.
Shall 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive carry? Minister Crocker, some opening remarks?
Thank you, Chair. I won't get too deep into opening remarks out of respect for time. But first of all, just let me, I want to thank the staff for the hard work that have gone into these estimates. And look forward to a morning of great discussion and try and provide the answers that I can provide.
Thank you, Minister Crocker. Shall 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive MHA Dwyer?
Can you please outline the department's attrition plan?
So right now we're meeting the attrition plan, right? Is that three? Is it through 3%?
I'll let the controller.
Bonnie Steele. The attrition plan, as it stands with targets and monetary and number of positions, have been met for everything that has been assigned to the department. Currently, as we review any vacant positions or people that retire, the department does a review of the position to determine if it can be allocated to other positions within the staffing, the current staff, before any position is filled. So there's ongoing analysis at the time of vacancies. So with the mind that the department keeps attrition in plan.
Okay. How many positions have been removed this year through attrition? And what is the strategy for this year?
So Bonnie, that's the number.
Yeah.
So total
sorry, Steve Crocker. Total resignations this year, end of employment have been 71, and total retirements have been 8. New hires have been 10. So again, as the controller just outlined, you know, every time there becomes a vacancy, you know, we reevaluate. We have, like most industries, we are having, I guess in some regards, hiring challenges in some of our more seasonal positions, but there hasn't been any reduction in those positions. It's just the number of vacancies has trended higher over the last little while.
How many people are employed in the department? How many contractual and how many temporary?
Right now the number is 298 people. There are 20 people who are currently on 13-week positions. Vacant positions right now are 32. Vacant seasonal positions are 142. We'll bring those back shortly. And I'm not sure if I answered your question.
The contractual is the only one that wasn't.
Four.
Okay. Just on the last question, what was the target for this year on attrition?
Is it 3%? There isn't a set target.
Oh, okay. That's good for me, Chair.
Thank you. 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive, MHA Brown.
Thank you. Thank you, Minister. Just a general question there. When it comes to the department, all the pandemic measures and stuff that was brought into the department there, is all that work has been completed at this point? And what was the final result on, like, the you had the programs and stuff put in for pandemic? Is all that completed and everything at this point in time?
Steve Crocker.
Yes. So if you recall back to last year's budget, there was an additional $20 million. If you go back to the previous budget of that, there was $40 million. So we've transitioned away now from COVID and recovery funds. So yes, we completed our programs last year as outlined. There was some movement within those as we found areas that, you know, need a little more attention or areas where we weren't able to actually allocate the funding. So we were able to utilize the $20 million last year in recovery money.
On that, all that money, did the entirety of that went out the door, or was there any surplus left of that pandemic funds?
So of the $20 million last year, I'm confident in saying we pretty much spent every single cent.
All right. For the money that was used for airline attraction, was all that money spent or went out the door, or did any of that?
That money, the 1.5 last year that was put in for air access would have been actually, it would have been utilized because I think we used some of it for our enhancement program. But we weren't able last year to use that funds for what we had planned, which was air access. There wasn't any, unfortunately, opportunities that were presented to us, so we did carry that we did allocate $1.5 million again this year for air access, but air access continues to be very much a challenge, not only in our jurisdiction, but in, you know, every jurisdiction around the globe.
Perfect, thank you. Can I get an update on Vision 2026 and how that is going ahead there now?
Yeah, so we launched Vision 2026 in November. There's an implementation group led by the Assistant Deputy Minister here to my right. It's going quite well with other pieces of work we have done. As we transition out of COVID, you know, this industry still has a ways to come. Quite honestly, you know, it was the industry that was probably most impacted from COVID. And it'll be the last industry to recover, but, you know, I'm confident in saying we're getting there. There's still some road ahead of us, we're getting there.
Perfect. Thank you, Minister. With the Celebrate NL and the setting up of that, how's that going along? Can we get an update on that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I would say it's been quite successful. If you think back to Come Home Year and some of the events that we were able to do last year, you know, last year, I think we invested in CE or cultural funding about $4.2 million for cultural activities. you know, 2.1 of that actually went directly into the pockets of professional fees for artists. And if you think to your previous question about how we rebuild this industry coming out of COVID, that was extremely important. You know, we had events in 170 communities. Celebrate NL continues to do work on its other mandate. You know, special celebrations is one part of its mandate. The other is event attraction. We've had some success in that, and I think you'll hear more on that in the coming weeks on the successes that we've had. But yeah, it's doing what it was set out to do. It's still early days. The corporation is about a year old.
Yeah.
And a lot of the things that it was set out to do when it comes to event attraction, they're in cycles. So actually being able to nail down this stuff will take time, but it's a long-term vision in a lot of ways that it takes. If you're not planning now, you're not going to get there in the future.
That's right. Perfect. That's all the general questions I have for this section. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Did you have anything further? Okay. MHA Dwyer?
I'm 1.101. Were there minimal increases in this section? Can we assume these increases are wage increases due to salaries?
Sorry, MHA Dwyer. Yes. For the negotiated wage increases.
Okay. Just in general administration in 1.2.01, executive support. Why the variances in the salaries under general administration? And do you have was there a retirement or have eliminated the position? And why were you over budget in 22-23 in salaries?
That's the contract.
Yeah, there's a contractual position in there related to the Canada Games. There was also an opportunity or a circumstance last year we had to backfill our director of communications, and the other increases are around the salary, the negotiated salary increases.
Why the reduction in transportation and communications when you're over budget in 22-23?
I think it reflects, you know, 22-23 was unique because we started to move again, you know, for the first time. And you can see that we did go from 46 in budget last year back to 61. So I think this reflects what we feel will be the proper amount to reflect the necessary travel need at this coming fiscal.
Okay. Minister, last year had a contractual position in administration support. Does this position still exist, and what is its title?
Sorry, what line is that, Ms. Edouard?
Under 1.201, under executive support.
Okay, that was an ATIP coordinator.
Okay. In 1.2.02, corporate services, why is there a $232,000 increase in salaries and it's revised to estimate $231,500? Have you added any new positions, either permanent or contractual?
So can you repeat the not line number?
Corporate services, 1.2.01.
Okay, the salary line?
Yeah.
So that was the step increases.
So it was down because of a couple of vacancies.
Yeah, there was a vacancy factor that brought it down, and then it was your normal.
Yeah, and then it goes up because of the negotiated.
Yeah, then it goes back up because of the negotiated wage increases, but the decrease was due to vacancies throughout the year.
Minister, in reviewing past estimates, are we seeing a return to normal spending patterns in the various headings like tourism, culture, supplies and purchase services?
Yeah, I think we are. I think as we get back to the new normal, we are seeing things readjust. You would have seen it, and you will see it throughout. I think, you know, in transportation and communications, you will see that. You know, we are underperforming, I guess, in a lot of ways. But yeah, we're seeing a more traditional annual. The department's work is getting back to normal.
Okay, that's good for me, Chair, on this section.
Thank you. If the committee is ready for the question, shall 1.2.02 Sorry, 1.1.01 to 1.2.03 inclusive, carry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Carried. I'll ask the clerk to call the next sub votes, please.
Jesus.
2.1.01 to 2.2.02 inclusive, tourism.
Shall 2.1.01 to 2.2.02 inclusive carry, MHA Dwyer?
Under 2.1.01 tourism, based on previous years, we overspent on supplies and the department continues to underfund. Why is that?
Yeah. So this year, the increase was due to replenishment of visitor supplies at the Visitor Information Center. You know, after several years of low activity, I think, you know, the number that we're putting forward is reflective. But, you know, you do raise a good point, and that's always a challenge for the department itself to stay within those numbers. But obviously, you know, we're working with, you know, a set budget. So yeah. It's quite challenging to actually put it in a line. And, you know, typically what we'll do is, like any department, I would think, is, you know, find ways throughout the year. And when you see, you know, when you see a number like that one where the, you know, the budget and the revised goes up, obviously we're finding somewhere else within the department to, with savings, to actually move it there. So, you know, we're working within our budget, and, you know, that's the job that staff do, and a good job at that is finding opportunities to move, you know. Yeah. I think it's important that we allow the department flexibility to do this as a year evolves, because it's continuously changing.
Can you explain the $3 million decrease in purchase services?
Yeah, that's, you're going to see as we go forward here, I think that's the 20 million, right? Yeah, so as we go forward here, you will see quite a bit of that, because as I outlined, I think, earlier to MHA Brown, we had an additional $20 million last year in COVID recovery money. So that's, you know, that was one-time funding that was the stimulus in the budget, and a new bilateral agreement on tourism.
Can you explain the federal and provincial revenue, and is that the Atlantic Tourism Agreement or something else?
Yeah, that it is. That's the Atlantic Tourism Agreement. And Caroline, the decrease was due to?
The amount had been budgeted to the end of the calendar year, but it actually extended over into this fiscal portion of it, which was right-sized.
Can we have a list of the $221,000 in grants and subsidies, and who is this exactly?
$221,000. So that would be.
That would be, yeah. We can certainly get you a list, but that would be everything from our DMOs to our visitors information centers to our. There's a number of visitors information centers around the province that we don't run, that we provide a grant to. But yeah, we can certainly get you that list.
Yeah. In revenue, federal, why only $630,000 of $945,000 received last year? Will the remainder come this year?
That's the timing issue again. Right? So that's the timing issue that the assistant deputy minister just alluded to. So yes, that was okay. Just, so we're able to use that, but it was a timing issue.
Okay. On to 2.1.02, why the nearly $300,000 reduction in purchase services?
Okay, that was the funding that was provided for the vision evaluation. So the vision evaluation, as we chatted about earlier, has been completed.
Thank you. And how come the $20,000 in grants and subsidies wasn't spent?
Yeah, so that was a decrease due to fewer industry association research-related grants being required during 2022-2023.
Can you repeat that?
It was a decrease due to fewer industry association research-related grants in the last fiscal.
Are we...
So we're 2.1.01 to 2.2.02.
Okay. Under 2.1.03, Can you explain the enormous increase in purchase services?
The decrease is due to tourism and hospitality stimulus funding, and it was reprofiled from air access to festivals and events. Programmed to the tourism enhancement fund. And the decrease is the expiration of the $2.7 million in one-time funding from stimulus.
Yeah, but like the in purchase services, we're looking at $334,200, and then the budget went to $2.9 million.
That was a reallocation. Some of that was reallocated to the tourism enhancement program. Thank you, Sarah. Am I giving, is there somebody got a,
can I?
Yeah, go ahead, Deputy.
So out of the 299 there, only 334,000 was spent, and then the rest was reprofiled down to the grant and subsidies line. We'll see 4.984. Right. It was reprofiled down there.
Okay.
And then we use that for the Tourism Enhancement Fund and to support some sports and rec for County Games.
The Tourism Enhancement Fund, when we announced it as a $3 million fund. We received closer to $6 million in applications, and we were able to actually reprofile some funding back into that to get it up to almost, I think, 4.8 million. So that program was well oversubscribed, and I think, quite frankly, a program that was well received by industry, considering the tough times that they've been through.
Can we have a list of the organizations that you provided grants and subsidies to, and why were you over budget in 2023? Is this money used you used to partner with industry, energy, and technology recently support some businesses? 2.1.03.
The grants and subsidies line.
Yeah.
So that's the 4.9.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that money, the money was reprofiled there.
We're just waiting for your light, Jamie.
Yeah. Sorry. Money was reprofiled from purchase services and put down in that line, and went to the tourism enhancement. But we can certainly get you some information around the tourism enhancement grants that went out, if you'd like.
Was any of that used in partnering with the IET?
No. IET has the tourism funding program in their rural development fund, right?
Business development.
In their business development support fund. But we typically do not leverage into that. That's an IET-ran program.
Okay. Moving on to the Marble Mountain Development Corporation, what repairs will be done to Marble this year?
Sorry?
What repairs will be done to Marble Mountain this year?
So, obviously, there's work being done currently around the Black Mariah, which has had continuous problems for the last number of years, but very hopeful that we're getting to the end of that. There will be some decking repairs done at Marble this year on the large deck. There will be some repairs done to Marble Villa this year. I think we're going to replace the shingles on Marble Villa. There will be more, continued to be some work done around the Lightning Express now returns, right? So there was some work done with the Lightning Express to actually use it as a return lift. Up until last year, didn't have the ability to bring somebody down the hill. It now has the ability to bring someone down the hill, and we're actually going to be using that this season with the crew, along with the cruise ship industry on the West Coast. So there's some work being done on top of the hill with an observation deck. And I guess the rest of the Marble Mountain work will be around the continuing maintenance and, the challenges that obviously Marble Mountain faces. But, Marble Mountain had a very extremely good year revenue-wise, and we're seeing some strength in the Four Seasons activity at Marble, and that's driving the revenues.
I used to have a shoulder season for a big asset like that. What is the future of Maribel? Is it up for sale?
So currently, there's some work being done by an independent firm, an evaluation of what Maribel would look like as a four-season resort. Once that work is done, we will take a step back, review that with the intention of going out to try and identify or find an operator for Maribel Mountain. We don't use the words for sale because, quite frankly, we want to make sure that if we are Maribel Mountain, surely they have the capital to do what needs to be done, and government, quite frankly, doesn't need to be in the business of running ski hills. But with that being said, Maribel Mountain provides a tremendous economic spin-off to the West Coast. It has tremendous opportunities. We've seen the abilities recently to do stuff year-round. Would we like to see Maribel in private hands or some sort of arrangement? Absolutely, but it won't be a garage sale.
Okay. Thank you. 2.1.01 to 2.2.02 inclusive, MHA Brown. MHA Brown, I'm recognizing MHA Brown.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. 2.1.05 under Maribel Mountain Capital. Last year was 1.3 was spent. This year there's nothing budgeted for capital, but you did outline some work. Is the bill going to come in after the work is done, or because there's nothing right here now budgeted for capital?
So we're working with Maribel. I met with Maribel last week on a capital plan. There is monies available to Maribel once they come in with that plan. But as I said earlier, Maribel's revenues have increased substantially, and Maribel has the ability now to, you know, do things that maybe it hadn't been able to do in the past. But there is funding available once Maribel comes in and we identify what those improvements would cost. For example, some of these improvements that I outlined aren't really substantial dollar figures, but important repairs at that.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much, Minister. 2.2.01, Pippi Park Commission, there's an increase in their grants and subsidies. Is that for?
That's just wage increases.
Wage increases, okay, yeah. Perfect. 2.2.02, park operations. This year, like I said, this last couple of years, you mentioned a lot of work that was being done in the parks. Can you outline some of the work that's going to be done in the parks across the province this year?
This year?
Yeah.
So this budget includes $500,000 for park infrastructure, something that we've been long looking for. So this year's investment will include things like there's some electrical repairs to be done. A new propane furnace at Butterpot, new generators at Butterpot, Perishwah, Sir Richard Squires, the removal of the diesel, because we've got all the parks now off diesel, and the ones that, removal and remediation of tanks, diesel tanks, installation of new water filtration system, repairs and boardwalk work at Sandbanks, which was Fiona impacted. More repairs. There's quite a bit of this will actually happen on the West Coast this year because we're still working with repairs from Fiona. The removal of the main gut trussle is one of our big projects for this summer because, as anybody would know, in the Stephenville region, that trussle needs to get out of there.
Yeah, and I know because last year we talked about all the removal of diesel and everything that for the parks and that. So that most of that work is complete, I guess.
It is. It's still just to clean up, just to get the remediation done and get the removal of the diesel generator tanks and stuff out of there.
Okay, perfect. Year over year, has there been an increase in use of the parks, visitor use?
Yes, the numbers. So the parks numbers were extremely strong during COVID. Just looking at these numbers. Yeah, so 233,000 visitors last year. I'm not quickly seeing what that would be year over year. Thank you, Carol Ann. So yeah, that's up substantially. If you go back to 2019, which would have been pre-pandemic, there were 156,000 visitors. Last year, there were 233,000 visitors. We've seen COVID has revitalized camping in a lot of ways, and we're actually starting to see an uptick in non-residents who are starting to use the parks in a different way than we have seen in the past. I think there's a bit more of a back to nature or back, yeah. COVID has exposed opportunities there for sure.
With the online booking system, has the services been well received in that, or has there still been some issues with the online booking system?
I can't speak to a lot of issues. I haven't seen a lot of issues or heard a lot of issues. And usually, you know, if there are issues, we hear about those issues. I don't know if Carolyn has anything to add to that. It's pretty much seamless, I think. I haven't heard a lot from it. And as you can see, the numbers are strong. So obviously people are managing to get get on and get it done.
Perfect. Thank you so much. Can we get a update on the review of public memorials and statues and stuff that was supposed to be carried out?
Yeah, so that review is ongoing. Okay. I will defer to Jerry on that one if he wouldn't mind taking it.
Thank you, Minister. We have a working group, a cross-departmental working group, that meets regularly, and we were tasked initially with four elements in that scope. One was the coat of arms review, which is completed, as you know. The second was renaming of the former Mary March Museum in Grand Falls, Windsor, which was completed. The third piece was the June holiday renaming, which is ongoing. And the fourth piece is the quarter rail statue, which is also ongoing.
Under Action 82 of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission calls for all provinces to collaborate with residential school survivors and their organizations to commission and install a publicly accessible, highly visible residential school memorial monument in a provincial's capital. I was just wondering if the department has undertaken this action.
Yeah, that was not part of our original remit of the working group. It's in our view plane. But certainly we are partnering with other departments on that initial initiative, and I really can't speak to where we are right now, but certainly it's in the view plane.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much for that. Can we get an update on the Eagle River Waterway Provincial Park in Labrador and where that's to right now?
It's certainly work that's ongoing, but again, I'll defer to Carol Ann because I know it's something that she spends a considerable amount of time working on.
Thank you, Carol Ann Gilliard. We have done some work completed to have the Waterway Provincial Park established. Right now, we are in the process of consultations with our Indigenous organizations. And so that continues at this time.
Perfect. Thank you so much. All right. One last thing here now before I'm there. With the provincial parks, is the province looking at any more land to be designated as a provincial park, both like, you know, RV versus or just protected lands right now, other than the waterway?
Yeah, not at the moment, no. You know, the piece of work that's ahead of us for Eagle River, it is substantial.
Yeah.
And that's our focus right now.
All right, perfect. That's my final question.
Thank you. Anything further?
Yeah. 2.1.05 on Marble Mountain. Is there a list that the corporation would like to see completed? When we talked about different work that's going on out there,
I met with the CEO on Thursday, I think, and we went through that, but there were some of the things that I had outlined. Yeah. The priorities for this year were around the decking. The decking continues to be, anybody familiar with the facility knows that decking is quite expansive and quite expensive. The work around, obviously, getting the Black Mariah back up, it's been down for a number of years. The cable is installed, the testing is done. One of the challenges with that lift And you know, work that's still ongoing with that is the age of the lift and getting the parts that are required. You know, we always have the brush cutting issues. Am I missing any? The roofing again at the villa. The villa's been quite successful actually in since it's reopened, and the observation deck on the top of the hill.
Okay. Recently, one of the lifts stopped working, and skiers needed to be evacuated from the lift. Will the monies allotted for this year be enough to cover planned upgrades, and what are these and the cost to fix the damaged lift?
Yeah, unfortunately, that was a pretty minor fix. What actually happened there, it was a switch, I think. Yeah, it was shut down out of abundance of caution, obviously, anytime you're using lifts. And, you know, Minister Studley's department keeps, you know, carry out inspections on that all the time that they're required. And quite frankly, you know, we're comfortable with that. But again, safety is always of the utmost importance. And we work with ServiceNL and others to make sure that those lifts are operating safely. And they undergo quite an extensive safety regime, I guess. But again, it's an ongoing challenge, but always there on the side of caution. So if you see it shut down, it's because of caution.
Okay. Moving on to 2.2.01, Pippi Park Commission. Last year, we were told that there was negotiated wage increases, therefore the rise in the grants and subsidies. Is this the case for the increase this year?
It is.
Okay. We're getting through it.
Oh, yeah, no worries. We're all good.
2.2.02 in the park operations. There is a reduction of nearly $300,000 in salaries. Why is this?
Salaries?
A reduction? So that was.
This is the planner.
So,
yeah, so that was some overtime, additional funding. Obviously, the step increases were there, but there was an increase due to additional need for students and overtime to ensure parks fully staffed at peak. Is that the right one?
Yeah, and then the decrease in the Eagle.
And there was a decrease in the Eagle, some of the Eagle River funding sunset last year as well.
Okay. Why is transportation and culture doubling this year, or transportation communications, I should say, doubling this year when you never spent the allocation from last year? And how is the savings achieved?
Yeah. The decrease reflects the expiration of funding for anticipated travel associated with the Eagle River, and there was a decrease reflects lower travel costs for staff throughout the year and fewer helicopter hours required.
Can you explain the significant reduction in supplies for this year, even less than was budgeted last year, and you overspent the $76,000?
Again, it's Eagle River related. And the increase last year was due to maintenance required in the parks. Obviously, increases as we've seen in everything on these projects, just general cost of living changes.
Why is purchase services over budget?
It went up because of the rain event.
Yeah, so, yes, right. So, there's work in here due to Fiona. Last year, we did the solar project at Butterpot, which is now done. and there was $660 for one-time infrastructure funding and repairs. And the increase is a result of required repairs from damage from Fiona. No, sorry, pre-Fiona. what was that one?
The Southwest Coast
Rain Event.
You're answering two and three questions at a time. I'm crossing out questions as you're going.
I see.
Why did you receive $331,000 of the $741,000 allocated?
That's timing. Is that under the federal revenue?
Is that the federal revenue?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a timing issue again.
Okay.
That's related to the storm damages, right?
Yeah.
Would that be common to have that delay?
Yeah, because I think the challenge here, that's any time that we have storm damages and TI, I guess, makes claims. Or yeah, I'll turn it over to Bonnie.
Bonnie Steele. The revenue here is coming from a federal provincial program. So at the end of the projects, we have to submit our documentation for reimbursement. Sometimes it takes a little bit of a longer period in order to have the fund and the revenue approved. So we have been in touch with the appropriate party here, and it is being worked on and should be finalized soon. So we'll receive that money. So next year, you'll see that money bumped up according to the budget. Yeah.
Okay. last year we had significant discussion around Main River. Can you provide any update on this situation and what is being done to resolve and protect these pristine areas of our province?
Quite frankly, I haven't seen much discussion around Main River recently. I think, you know, the work that we had done around that and our commitment to make sure that, you know, we don't find ourselves in these situations again was very clear. Yeah. So I think that the challenges around Main River have relaxed in a lot of ways.
The trailway continues to be a challenge. Any plan to solve some of the Band-Aid solutions you referred to last year in estimates?
Yeah, very pleased this year in the budget that there was $500,000 allocated for provincial parks infrastructure, something that we hadn't had for, I don't know if we've ever had it before. So we have that infrastructure money now to actually do some of that. And there's been great work done with the Newfoundland and Labrador Trailway Association, IET, and ourselves to get an emphasis back on that. There is work, obviously, that we will bill back to the Fiona disaster relief application that would be forwarded, or has been or would be forwarded to Ottawa. So yeah, we see the role of the work that's been done. I think there's been some tremendous work done, I think, in the Bishop's Falls area with regard to redecking of the trussle. And just recently, just last week, I think there was an announcement in CBS of some work that's being done in the trailway in that region. Again, working with ACOA and IET and ourselves. And now we actually have we have some funding available to us now that we wouldn't have had before to actually help with, you know, leveraging the COA Trailway Association and work with IET as well.
Okay. I know that there was the trail system across the province is kept up well, but I think from it is Clarenville into, you know, basically going eastward. It has had some challenges. I'm just wondering if there's any money allocated to upgrade this trail system from on the, I guess, the East Coast.
Yeah, absolutely. IET provided some funding last year to the Newfoundland Labrador Trailway Association to do a plan to actually look at, you know, short-term, medium-term, and long-term maintenance of the trailway, because obviously, as you can appreciate, a 900-kilometer trail in the wilderness in Newfoundland and Labrador and the climate change challenges that we have becomes very challenging, to say the least. But again, working with IET, ACOA, and the trailway, I think, you know, you will see those improvements. As again, I mentioned, we've seen some, and I've seen an announcement as recently as Friday in CBS of that relationship working.
And my last question in this section, is Luxton Park still under a boil order?
You didn't see that one coming. I didn't see that one coming. Carolyn, we'll get back to you on that one.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, I got the problem with that. Thank you.
MHA Brown, you okay with that section?
Yeah.
Okay. If the committee's ready for the question, shall 2.1.01 to 2.2.02 inclusive carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Carry. I'll ask the clerk to call the next set of subheads, please.
3.1.01 to 3.1.07, inclusive, arts and culture.
Shall 3.1.01 to 3.1.07, inclusive, carry? MHA Dwyer.
I believe it's Mr. Brown.
Yeah, I was looking because he hadn't come back. Yeah. I'll go to MHA Brown.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you so much, Chair. Under 3.1.01, I'll start with their purchase services. It was budgeted last year for 10.3, and only 5.5 was spent at this year's budget for 4.7. Is this carryover work that wasn't completed in the last budget?
So there was an anticipation, I think, last year in that purchase services. Because at this point in time, we were in estimates last year, we weren't sure of the arrangement that we were going to come to with Come From Away. So there was an allocation there actually for the way we thought the plan would go at that point in time. But we were able to come to a different arrangement with Come From Away. So the decrease is a result of 2.8 million portion of the one-time Come From Away not being required, 1.6 being utilized under property and furnishings and equipment, and 275K used to support park operations and repairs to the trailway from the Southwest Coast rain event. So obviously it's moving funding within the flexibility within the department when, you know, we didn't need it, for example, for Come From Away. We were able to reallocate it into the trailway.
To another project. Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Minister. I know, like, right now, I'll take their Arts and Culture Center. Is maintenance coming out of your budget, or does TI take care of maintenance of the Arts and Culture Centers?
TI takes care of the maintenance at the major maintenance at the Arts and Culture Centers. Last year, we did have some funding allocated into $20 million to do some work. There's always ongoing work. I know right now, TI, we're in the process of putting new air handling, new air conditioning in Gander, anticipation of what will be a very busy summer there. That work is handled by TI.
Okay.
Has he got his estimates done yet?
No, but I got some questions.
Oh, well, just keep
the Arts and Culture Center Lab West.
Keep, save them for TI estimates.
Yeah, okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Minister.
He's taking cheat notes over there this morning.
I know, it's fine. He'll answer my question. He always does. Perfect. 3.1.02, Arts, Heritage, and Historic Development. Under professional purchase services, it was budgeted for 2.2. 2.1 was spent and is only budgeting for 193 going forward. What was the reason for such under budgeting?
That was the Come From Away money, the one-time money, and the Come Home Here. Again, so it was one-time money that was from the allocations last year into $20 million stimulus.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Under grants and subsidies, it was 4.6. You spent the 4.6, and now we're budgeting 3.66. What's the reason for the decrease in grants and subsidies under Arts and Heritage Services?
So again, there was a $1 million additional one-time funding from the stimulus program, and it was partially offset by increases to community-based grants as per the initiative.
Okay, so it was just a one-time kind of thing.
That was that $20 million that we had for stimulus last year. It would have been in, I think, the numbers that I quoted earlier around the money going to artists and other areas. But yeah, it's that money that was one time.
Perfect. A general question more, since we're on arts and heritage. With the reopening of the Colonial Building as a historic site now, what was the visitor numbers for this past season, and what you're projecting for this coming season?
I'm going to defer to Jerry. I know the numbers were very strong, but obviously if you think about when we opened, it was really in the shoulder season. But Jerry, yeah.
Are you referring to the Colonial Building specifically or sites in general?
Colonial Building and then overall. Yeah.
Colonial Building, we opened for 80 days last fall, and we saw over 2,500 visitors. that time period.
And overall, what was the historic site visitation like this past season?
We were up 200 and 248% over 2021.
Okay. So is that, just if you don't mind asking, is that like more of a return to normal pre-pandemic numbers, or is this like an increase even from 2019?
Our numbers for 2022 actually surpassed our benchmarks for 2019.
Okay.
So we were trending up 2018, 19. We both hit record years. And then the pandemic, obviously, 2020 and 2021, but 22 numbers exceeded 2019 numbers. So we are still on the upward trajectory for numbers.
Oh, excellent. Thank you so much. Under 3.1.03, the Newfoundland Labrador Arts Council, there's no increase this past, from last budget to this budget, but is there any anticipation of increasing the funding to the Newfoundland Labrador Arts Council, or this is the end of the increase agreement?
I think obviously the commitment was to get the Arts Council to $5 million, which has obviously happened. There's always, conversations happening around, further increases, what would they look like? But obviously, we work within our budgets. We have a very strong relationship with the council. I think it's fair to say they're very comfortable right now coming, quickly from $2 million a year to $5 million a year in what were tough economic times. And we've supported artists over the last number of years through many different initiatives within the department and through the Arts Council. And I think you will see a very strong relationship with the Arts Council continue.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much, Minister. 3.1.04, the Brooms Corporation, and they said they're, I think it's about 6.3 million. This year they're getting 6.5 million. Is there any reason for this current increase, or is it just wages again?
That's the wages again, true collective bargaining.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. The Heritage Foundation of Newfoundland and Labrador, they get $400,000 before and change. This year they're getting $424,000. Have the Heritage Foundation asked for an increase for their operating grant?
I think all organizations ask every year for an increase to their grant, and we would really like to be able to give all organizations an increase to their grants. But obviously, we work in with the envelope that we're able to provide. But these organizations have done a great job in providing their services. No different than the department within the fiscal framework that we have to work with.
Yeah, because I don't know.
I don't think you would find any organization that wouldn't want additional funding, including government departments. But again, we have to work within the financial parameters that we find ourselves.
Oh yeah, and I know. I was a member of the Museum Association when I was with Tourism in Lab West, and we always asked with this, especially with the Heritage Foundation and stuff like that. Soft spot for them, right? But no, it's like I said, it would have less than $500,000, and the amount of actual heritage structures and stuff that are actually in this province, and the different, tangible, non-tangible heritage. I was just wondering, has there been an increase, kind of like warranted or anything like that? Because we do seem like you just said you're up 200% to historic sites.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, we're giving the Heritage Foundation less than $1 million. We're seeing tourists actually want to see this kind of aspect of our province.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's only less than $500,000. 3.1.06, Celebrate NL. Last year they got $1 million. This year they're getting $100. What's going on there?
that's a placeholder for future initiatives. So that's not uncommon throughout estimates.
Oh yeah.
They're comfortable with their $100. But that is a placeholder.
They were budgeted last year. I'm just curious on where they're going to get the rest of their funding for their operation now.
Last year, because of the timelines on the establishment of the organization, the Come Home Your funding didn't actually flow out of Celebrate NL. the funding actually flowed from whether it been arts and the Arts and Heritage Division or other divisions. So, you know, we'll provide the necessary funding to Celebrate NL as initiatives are announced, and we'll take it from there. But, you know, I would suspect that, you know, we'll see some activity around Celebrate NL in the very near future.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you. 3.1.01 to 3.1.07 inclusive, MHA Dwyer.
Thank you, Chair. In 3.1.01 Arts and Culture Centers, are all our Arts and Culture Centers open now with full capacity? And are bookings and revenue back to pre-COVID levels?
I would say yes. You know, Arts and Culture Centers, by their very nature of being, you know, around the province, we see peaks and valleys, you know, some outperforming others. I'm just going to grab the numbers here. And again, I don't have in front of me the pre-COVID numbers, but the recovery from 21-22 to 22-23 has been quite significant. For example, ticket sales in 21-22 were 75,000. Ticket sales in 22-23 were 140,000. So we've seen almost a doubling of ticket sales from 21-22 back up to 2023. So yeah, and that is pretty consistent across the organization. But again, you know, it varies from, you know, region of the province.
Just an outlier question, I guess, kind of thing. Is there any propensity to put a Arts and Culture Center on the Burren Peninsula? Seems to be the largest area that really doesn't have an Arts and Culture Center.
Yeah, there, you know, quite frankly, there isn't any plans right now to expand the Arts and Culture Center network. What I would like to see happen is work closer with the regional theaters. So in your case, it would be the...
Grand Bank. Yeah. The
Grand Bank.
Yeah.
And the theater, there's a theater in Marystown too. No, that's Bonavista.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think we need to, and I think about this because I have a theater in my own constituency, and I think we need to work closer with the regional theaters throughout the province. From, you know, use the Arts and Cultural Center and their abilities to spread that a little greater. But no, we wouldn't be looking at expanding the Arts and Culture Center network at this time.
One of the things I did notice for the Grand Bank Regional Theater last year was that they took their show on the road and they'd done a couple of shows in Marystown, which is very beneficial to bring it to people, I guess, that wouldn't have the propensity to drive to Grand Bank, because obviously the shows are in the evening and you have to drive back in the dark, right?
Yeah, no.
So moving on to 3.1.02, Arts, Heritage, and Historic Development. Why is transportation and communication over budget in
22-23? This increase is due to travel and expenditures related to mandated provincial historic sites employee health and safety training hosting of our FPT last year, and required provincial historic site building maintenance.
Okay. Why is supplies over budget in 22-23?
Increased requirements for provincial historic site maintenance and global supply issues and price for materials required for the infrastructure work that we undertook last year.
What was the total cost of the colonial building refurbishments?
$21 million. How close was that, Jerry? Oh, sorry, I was going that way for Jerry, but $21 million, correct?
You were in that ballpark.
Yeah. We can get you the exact figure, but it was in that.
Thank you.
Yeah. The guy behind you might actually have that. Not with him now. But.
Why in revenue provincial we only received 3,800 of the 150,000 budgeted last year?
Okay, yeah. Last year, as a Come Home Year initiative, we didn't charge to get into our provincial historic sites. So that was revenue that we didn't take in last year.
Moving on to 3.1.03, Newfoundland Labrador Arts Council. Can we have a list of the funds allocated here and any additional funds that they may have received?
Of who they funded?
Yeah,
absolutely. We can provide that, or it's also available on their website. They list all of their programs and how the money is expended.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it's quite, but we can certainly provide that for
sure.
You.
3.1.04, the Rooms Corporation of Newfoundland. Can you explain the $200,000 increase in grants and subsidies to the Rooms?
That's negotiated wage increases.
How many employees are presently working at the Rooms, and are there any vacancies for new hires or new hires?
I don't have that number, Amesha Dwar, but we can certainly get it for you.
Thank you. Can we have the visitor stats for the Rooms from last year?
Do we? Yeah, again, we can get those numbers for you. But again, it would follow the trend that we've seen throughout the entire industry.
So last year would have been considered a full year for the Rooms as opposed to a hiccup COVID year type thing?
I think so. My recollection on the Rooms numbers is they were extremely strong. And if you look at the fiscal year versus the calendar year, because we often forget, if you go back to the calendar year of 2022, the first quarter of 2022 was practically a COVID shutdown. Yeah. But I know the Rooms had a very strong summer. They took part in some initiatives around Come Home Year with Free Fridays. I think it was Free Fridays. And the Rooms has been quite busy and quite active.
Moving on to 3.1.05, the Heritage Foundation of Newfoundland. Are built heritages still evaporating? And once again, no increase to their budget. Why is that?
Well, again, as I outlined to our colleague, we work within our fiscal frameworks to do what we do. I think, it would be, if we lived in an ideal world, obviously we would be increasing the funding available. But again, we have to work within the financial parameters that were dealt.
Can we have a list of those receiving grants and subsidies?
You sure can.
Online, sir? Maybe online as well?
I don't know. Are they online, Jerry? No, we will get you those, okay. MHA, Dwyer.
Thank you. 3.1.06, Celebrate NL Incorporated.
Yep.
Can we have a list of the grants that have been given out under this program last year? And can you include all expenditures from this program?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, we'll have to get you that. They're not due to file their first annual report until this fall, is that right, Bonnie?
Yeah.
So they're due to file their first annual report this fall, but we can get you the information that is available until we get to that stage.
Okay, thank you. 3.1.07, Arts Culture Center's infrastructure. In the properties and furnishings, nothing was budgeted last year, but $69,900 was required. Why was that?
That was a new chiller for the Arts and Culture Center in Corner Brook.
Is there a facilities report for each Arts and Culture Center showing the need for maintenance and repairs? And if yes, can we have a copy of that?
I don't think that we have that. I know we would submit any request that we have for Arts and Culture Center work through TI, and TI would do building maintenance. But over the last number of years, I think through COVID and again last year through the stimulus one-time funding, we were able to get a lot of work done at the Arts and Culture Centers, more of a infrastructure investment than they'd have seen for quite some time. Obviously, there's always need, but right now the Arts and Culture Centers are in relatively good shape.
Are there any plans for upgrades to any of them, these facilities this year?
Yeah, there's ongoing work always at the Arts and Culture Center. As I mentioned earlier, right now, one of our focuses and the biggest projects that's ongoing is the new air handling, air conditioning at Gander, because there were significant challenges around that. But, we'll work with TI and identify opportunities to get work done always.
Okay, thank you.
If investment is needed, we'll certainly follow up with TI to make sure that we're getting perfect. The necessary investment.
Thank you, MHA Dwarf. MHA, further on this section?
No, yeah, that's the last. That was my last questions for. Oh no, there's one question. Sorry, my apologies. One question. Can we get an update on the Heart's Content UNESCO World Heritage Site MOU and how that's going along?
Now, do you want me to give you a 10-minute version or a 1-hour version? Because I could talk about Heart's Content all day.
I know. I figured this is what was going to happen.
Hold on there, Jordan.
Okay, you get a glass of water.
It's going along quite well. It's in the next phase. It's right now working on the proper documentation. If there's one person as equally interested in this project as I am, it's Jerry. But, you know, we're very confident the Irish cooperation on this right now is at a very stable level. So we'll get the necessary documentation in place, and we'll make sure that we're ready when that application is approved. There's, you know, we'll have work to do in the coming years to get ready for that, but we're very confident that we can certainly get there by 26. Jerry would be, yeah, like 26 would be our goal right now. That's, you know, obviously that's a target. You know, we don't dictate that, but very excited to actually get that designation.
Perfect. Thank you. That's my final question for this section. Thank you.
Thank you. Committee's ready for the question. Shall 3.1.01 and 3.1.03 carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Against? Carried. And I'll ask the clerk to call the final set of subheads, please.
4.1.01 to 4.2.02 inclusive, film, television, and recreation.
Sorry. Shall 4.1.01 to 4.2.02 inclusive carry? MHA Dwyer.
Thank you. Under 4.1.01, Newfoundland Film Development Corporation, are there any new marketing initiatives planned for this year?
Yeah, you'll see there last year, actually, in the grants and subsidies, there was a bump up of approximately $400,000. So this increase was due to, that was actually for market development and continued awareness activities. The corporation finds itself right now in a position that the industry is extremely strong at the moment, and we want to capitalize on that. And I think you will see some of these initiatives in the coming weeks of what it is that they want to do, I guess, in a matter of a rebranding. Absolutely, the industry has doubled, and there's tremendous opportunity on the horizon.
I was in a conference actually yesterday, and it was commented that, like a lot of our commercials, you see clothes blowing on the wind, on the clothesline, and that was the segue into the fact that we're going into generating wind power and stuff like that. So, just tremendous how it's kind of crossed over a little bit. Why was the Newfoundland Film Development Corporation over budget last year?
In grants and subsidies was the $400,000 that we were able to reallocate to them in the fiscal year to do the work around the marketing development and awareness activities. So that makes that's the reason they were over budget last year. And the budget increase this year reflects the addition of two new positions because obviously as we've seen the growth in the industry, we went from a equity investment of $2 million a year budgeted to $10 million a year, and the amount of activity that they're seeing right now necessitated some growth in positions at the Development Corp.
Okay. Under the 4.1.02 Newfoundland Film Development Corporation again, last year we talked about how hard it was to test for the value in TV and film, yet we see glowing numbers all the time to support further investment. Can we see the analysis of how government calculates its value?
Sure, yeah. The value of the industry, like...
Return on investment, I guess, more than anything. Like, we're saying that, you know, there's a need for further investment.
Right.
So, like, what are we basing that on, really? Like, that's what I'm saying is... Is there a certain kind of analysis or, you know, a calculation that you do with project over project or anything like that?
Yeah, project by project is not handled by the department. Project by project is handled by the Development Corporation itself. So I don't sit on their board, so I'm not sure exactly, you know, what criteria they use. But yeah, we can see what information we can provide to you from them.
Appreciate that. Can we have a list of all the companies who benefited from this program?
The investments we would have made in the equity program last year?
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
Last year, we highlighted that many of these productions were delinquent in terms of their payments as per these agreements. Have we received these payments, and is government doing anything to recoup this money?
Yeah, you know, we could talk about the Green Report all day, and we would. I won't agree with that section of the Green Report. You know, we're quite confident in what we're doing with our equity investments in this industry right now, and we're moving. You know, we did see return on investment last year in equity, I think, from Hudson and Rex, which, you know, is not something that we've always seen throughout history. When you look at the new programs, when it comes to the tax credit, this program is very much different because obviously it's based on what you spend.
Yeah.
But you know, and there's the untold or unmeasurable effect of film and television when you think about tourism and marketing of our place. You know, there are still people come to this province and go to the Duke of Duckworth, which, you know, is a spin-off from Republic of Doyle 10 years ago. You know, you would have seen firsthand last night what the spin-off on Disney is going to be, I would think, for the Bonavista region.
Yeah.
You know, you have a full-length film movie right now that millions and millions of people are going to see. And they're going to see that absolute beauty of that part of our province. For us right now, it's finding a way to make sure we make sure people know that, you know, here's a Disney production, but that's actually Bonavista, Newfoundland, and Labrador, and make sure that we can find a way to connect that. When you look to other jurisdictions, they do some work around that with, you know, marketing their film locations. So there's an unmeasurable piece as well of the value of film.
Moving on to 4.2.01, sport and recreation. Why are salaries increased from $960,000 to $1.1 million this year?
So again, step increases. And this increase is due to absorbing negotiated wage increases and recognition bonus.
Transportation and communications are over budget. Why is this?
this reflects the requirements of having two Canada Games in one calendar year, which doesn't happen. And there's also, well, doesn't happen, but it did happen. And there is requirements right now around preparation for 2025.
Okay. There were savings in supplies. Why was that?
Yeah, this was a utilization of current inventory and minimization of purchases.
Okay. In grants and subsidies, can you please indicate which programs are included in this line?
Grants and subsidies, that would be Canada Games, right? So it would be the Athletic Excellence Fund, Canada Games Grants, National Championship Travel Subsidy, World Championship Travel Subsidy, annual operating to our PSOs, and Active NL.
Okay. Can you explain the federal contribution of $378,000?
I don't have a number for that one.
So is that the federal revenue?
Yes.
Yeah.
Please.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, okay.
Revenue.
Okay, yeah, that's a bilateral agreement with the feds on sports participation.
Why did we only receive $179,000 of a budget of $337,000 in the provincial revenue?
Okay, that's pool revenue. Yeah, that's a reflection of lower activity at our two provincial pools in Gander and Corner Brook.
Can we have a list for the grants and subsidies, of who received the grants and subsidies, and why the $3 million reduction?
Yeah, the decrease is due to completion of our agreement with the Canada Games Hosting Society. So we had our agreement with Canada Games Hosting Society was $11 million over 3 years, I think. And they now have their operating funding that the province was to provide to them for 2025. And it's offset by this year's budget includes an $800,000 increase to Active NL.
Okay. And then 4.2.02, the NL Sports Center. The Sports Center is an important facility in the city and our province for sports competitions. Are there any plans for upgrades to this facility?
So this facility is operating, to your point, very well. They've very much been involved in our planning around the new track and field facility. I think they will have a role to play when that facility is complete, and I think that facility will offset or bring some of the things that they've been looking for over the last number of years, because one of the pieces of that new facility will be Excellence Training Center, right? So not only will we have a new track, physical track facility, but we'll also have a new excellence facility as well.
Thank you. MHA Brown, 4.1.01 to 4.2.02 inclusive.
Thank you, Chair. Just one question from the film and television side of it. What role does the department have with setting up the new Film and Media Production Center at the College of the North Atlantic? Are you guys involved directly in that or indirectly?
So indirectly, we would, I guess, be an advisor. That is being done through the Department of Education and CNA. Obviously, we're very interested and very, keeping a keen eye on that program, because I think, what we hear the most from the film and television industry now that we have very competitive incentive programs is labor force development and finding the labor force to actually do these shows, because we're running two and three in peak season right now. We're running two and three productions concurrently. That's challenging on the workforce. Very interested in seeing that facility completed. So yeah, we're not directly involved, but very keen on seeing it up and running.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Minister. Just a question from Recreation there now. With the games coming in 2025, is the department looking at any travel grants, especially leading into that 2025 Canada Games? Especially a lot of the athletes have to come from a lot of rural areas in this province into the city.
Yeah, so that's something that we budget for every year. So we have a portion of our budget every year for Canada Games preparation. There is a fund. I think it's a $1 million fund. That's sort of our... I guess it's Newfoundland Labrador's version of Own the Podium.
Yeah.
So that program would intensify as we get towards 2025. So there's an independent process and a formula that's used to actually rank our sports teams and where we consider them to be come as we get closer. So that work is ongoing continually.
All right, perfect. Anyway, that's my last question for that section. Thank you so much.
Thank you. MHA Dwyer, anything further?
Thank you. Chair, I just have some general questions, yeah. Minister, if you would indulge me.
Absolutely.
Okay. Minister, air access continues to plague our province. We don't get accidental tourists with fewer flights. Higher costs, and recently WestJet pulling its direct flights from St. John's. What is the government doing to solve this issue?
We're doing absolutely everything that we can. It's extremely challenging. We've knocked on every door. Just a week and a half ago, we joined our airport authorities in Montreal to sit down with Air Canada. I think the first time in many, many decades that, you know, there were three of our airport authorities in attendance. Typically, airport authorities from this province or any jurisdiction, you know, don't usually share the same table because it's a very competitive nature of that. But to impress upon them, you know, Air Canada is still plagued with challenges coming out of COVID. We see challenge every time we see a challenge, for example, at Pearson, you know, that dribbles down. We've met with all the major airlines. We'll continue to do so. We've made them aware of the fact that, you know, we do have assistance available to them. But again, you know, we've had airlines, quite frankly, look at us and say, right now, money is not the problem. And unfortunately, all Canadian airports are still struggling. The ones in Atlantic Canada are struggling more than others in the country. A lot of that is due to the pullout of WestJet. You know, they made a business decision to actually, you know, leave Atlantic Canada. I spoke to the CEO back in November and expressed our displeasure in that. But obviously, you know, they've made the conscious decision to go back to Western Canada. And unfortunately, I don't see them returning in the near future. We've made some inroads with some of the low-cost carriers. You would have seen last year an increase in the presence of, we've seen Swoop come for the first time, we've seen Flair, and we see Lynx. And, you know, just recently you would have seen a partnership between PAL and Air Canada, which I think is encouraging as well, because the regional market in Atlantic Canada right now is severely challenged. But, you know, we'll keep the dialogue going with the airlines, but every airline that we've talked to, and we've talked to most that would have an interest in Eastern Canada, and they are still eyeing 25, 26 for full recovery.
Why don't government have a representative on the Air Access Committee? We don't have a representative, like a government representative on the Air Access Committee?
There's an Air Access Committee, isn't there, Minister?
With HNL?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we would have a representation on that. HNL was actually in Montreal with us 2 weeks ago. We worked closely with Hospitality Newfoundland and Labrador on the plan that they formulated during COVID. But quite frankly, it was only last week we talked about the need or the necessity right now to refresh that plan because the roadmap has changed so much. You know, we wrote a plan during the pandemic, not fully abreast of the changes that we're going to see and not fully recognizing, and there was no way that we could recognize, I guess, the challenges that we would see at Canada's major airports and, you know, the passenger restrictions that we're seeing, because it's tremendously difficult to get back to where we were in 2019 when we have our major hub in Canada saying we're going to cap the number of passengers that are going to fly through our airport in any given season.
Okay. You alluded to Victor Maritimes, and just last week, Halifax was touting direct flights to Europe, the United mm-hmm. States, and throughout North America. Our people can barely get a direct flight to Halifax. So why is air travel in this province so deplorable, and what marketing initiatives is the province taking to attract better routes and to accessibility for our residents? Can we expect European routes in 2024?
So I would disagree with your comment that air travel in the province is deplorable. Okay. I have a lot of respect for our airport authorities, and they do a lot of hard work. So I think they'd be disappointed to hear you use the words deplorable as well. They put a lot of time and effort into attracting airlines from around the world, and we've we've worked very well with our airport authorities. We've offered them assistance. We've given them assistance. Quite frankly, last year we invested, I think, with St. John's $500,000 through IET and Gander and Deer Lake as well, $250,000. But, you know, they face the challenges. When they go to, connectivity meetings, Roots America, as an example, it's a very competitive nature. And quite frankly, what you're seeing in Halifax, as much as, you know, we would want to be the hub, the reality is that Air Canada recognizes Halifax as the regional hub. Aircraft, you know, we've pursued the roots of European, you know, one of our main things, and myself and Minister Parsons in IET talk about this on a regular basis, is getting direct access back to Europe. We lost air access to Europe with the MAX 8 challenges back pre-pandemic. We will not see direct connectivity this year again to Europe. You know, we had the discussion again 2 weeks ago with Air Canada. There is a glimmer that they would get there, but right now their challenge with a direct connection to Europe from the Air Canada standpoint is aircraft availability, and they're waiting on some new aircraft that they would need before you would see direct connectivity back to Europe. But it is a major priority of ours, and quite frankly, I think if you were to sit down with the St. John's Airport Authority, you know, it's their number one priority. But in that being said, while we're waiting for that time to come, because I would never, ever not advocate first and foremost for direct connectivity anywhere, because obviously people want to fly direct. But it's also important, until that day comes, is that we work with the airlines to make sure that connectivity meets the threshold as well. So if you're flying from, you know, New York directly into Halifax or London directly into Halifax, that when you get off that flight, you have the proper connectivity to get you here. Because quite frankly, if you think about the Newfoundland Labrador tourism market, a lot of the destinations in our province, other than the capital city, we'll never have direct connectivity. If you think about Gros Morne, Deer Lake, the West Coast, you know, they're not going to have direct connectivity to Europe or to the U.S. So it's important that we, you know, obviously always want direct connectivity, but connectivity in itself is a challenge.
And indeplorable, I didn't allude that to the people that are in our airport authorities, is just the network itself that I'm alluding to.
Yeah, fair. It's challenging when you have a carrier leave a market.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. WestJet leaves in a time when Air Canada's capacity is challenged and you have an airline retreat, that certainly brings forward a challenge. And quite frankly, Air Canada itself has to get back to their capacity numbers, let alone eat up that capacity that WestJet has abandoned.
Okay. You recently announced new Airbnb regulations. What has been the feedback from H&L municipalities and the Airbnb owners?
The feedback from H&L has been, we crafted these regulations hand in hand and took quite some time to actually get there, because H&L wanted strong regulations, and I think that we were able to achieve that. So the reaction from H&L has been really good, and we'll work with them as we continue to get to March 2024 on full implementation. The other group, M&L?
Municipalities.
Yeah, I've met on Friday. I was in Old Perlican and had a conversation with the town council there. I think the response that I'm hearing from municipalities in my own district and around the province is they're relieved that they finally have something to point to, some structure. In most jurisdictions, these regulations are primarily municipal regulations, and you would see recently in, I think, Twillingate and Bonavista, where the councils have gone ahead and implemented some of their own regulations to actually, you know, control the number of accommodators, not only control, but to ensure that when somebody puts their head, you know, to rest on a bed in Newfoundland and Labrador, they should do so with the comfort knowing that, you know, life and fire safety has been taken into consideration. And we've seen instances just unfortunately recently in Quebec where that wasn't the case. So, I think, and to the final part of the question about B&Bs themselves, you know, the industry that's been operating on the side of regulation previously are very pleased with this. Obviously, there's some over here that aren't quite so pleased, but quite frankly, they need to come over here and be part of the regulated industry.
Thank you, Minister. Chair Brown, do you have anything further? Thank you.
I only got a couple more questions. I know that we were going to break at 10:30, but I only got probably seven or eight questions, and we can finish if that's okay with the staff.
Yep.
Okay. Is there a long-term strategic tourism plan which includes marketing, attraction, development, and accommodations?
Yeah, that's the vision, and working with what will come out of the implementation in the vision. You know, we've done work. We haven't shied away from trying to understand what tourism, you know, what the visitor economy looks like post-COVID, because the visitor economy of 2019 will not be the visitor economy of 2025, 2026, 2027. The world has changed, and trying to understand that. Last year, we did a partial exit survey here in the province. This year, we'll be doing an exit survey, and you know, we're also going to do increased research in the coming years, because understanding what that market is post-COVID is extremely important, and understanding how we position our marketing investments.
Okay, thank you. I know you alluded earlier to the revenues of Marble Mountain, and I know that they exceeded expectations this past winter. What direct evidence does the department have to reaffirm these comments from the general manager?
I think the numbers speak for themselves. Revenues, the number... revenues were up strongly. Bear with me for 1 second.
Still didn't make enough case to sell it.
What?
still didn't make enough case to take it off the market.
No, absolutely not, because I think it just shows the opportunities that are there with Marble, quite frankly, for investment. You know, government is certainly not the right... government... I don't think government should be in the business of running ski hills. I think there's people out there that know how to run ski hills much better than governments. But again, we want to ensure. But yeah, revenues, and this is revenue up until March 15th, and their year end is not till April the 30th. But their revenue this in 2023 was $4.1 million compared to $3.2 million in 2019.
Okay, thank you. The same report that was recently brought to the public eye is about offering tours for visiting cruise ship tourists. Can you provide any insight into new offerings or other offerings that Marble are considering in the off season?
Yeah, so one of the offerings that they have done, they're doing very well at with, because obviously with the cruise ship industry, tours are pre-sold. So the actual lift to the top of the hill and lift back down has done quite well. They're also, you know, looking at opportunities around mountain biking. Festivals. Yeah, they're back into the wedding market. Having the accommodations there at the base gets them back into that. And, you know, all this stuff, it's great, because it actually would show a potential investor or investors of the opportunities that actually exist at Marble other than the ski hill opportunity, because that's just one piece of making it a year-round operation.
A return list maybe to the zip lining might help that out as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Will Marble truly be profitable as stated by the general manager?
I think so. If you think our operating grant to Marble is $300,000, and I would argue, quite frankly, that that's a very good return on investment for the province. If you think about the economic activity at Marble, you know, direct revenue of, you know, over $4 million. If you were to look at the other revenue that would be received in the region, whether it's accommodations or food and beverage, you know, Marble is a really strong investment or return on investment for us at you know, a $300,000 operating grant.
Celebrate Newfoundland, the Crown Corporation, was incorporated last year, and we were told that it would work on attracting large events to the province, like the Briar and the Junos. Why is there no funding in budget for this? Is there a person in the department responsible for this, or what was its success? Is there a list?
So we'll provide you with the activities they've been to, but I think I said to MHA Brown earlier, you know, these things take time. We have been bidding events. Obviously, there's some, you know, partnership. Anytime we bid an event, there's typically a partnership with the destination management organization as well. A lot of the work that they do with regards to events is, I guess, proprietary in some manner, because, you know, we'd be a piece of it. DSJ, as an example, or another one of the organizations would be a piece of it. And I think right now, Celebrate NL has 5 staff people. Yeah, so right now it has 5 staff people, an executive director, and other people working on. We'll provide you with this MHA Dwyer, but Stars on Ice, they've done some work with the Film Development Corporation, the Canada Games Athletes Rally, Labrador Winter Games, a lead role obviously in Come Home Year, Toronto International Film Festival. They've been doing a lot of work right now currently on Come From Away in Gander this summer. They have a role to play there as well. That initiative is actually pretty much cross department. And more to come in the very near future.
Okay. Kane's Quest was called off due to weather conditions this past winter. Is government liable in any way for its cancellation? Or does the organizing committee have any insurance to protect the organization in the event of these cancellations?
That would be a question better directed, I think, to the MHA. No, that their funding primarily would have come from IET, but we're very interested and keen, I know, as is the member for Lab West, to actually make sure that we get Kane's Quest back up and running for 2024. That initiative is taking place. You know, we'll be at that table along, I think, with IET and the MHA. I know he's been very active on it. It's an important event, and hopefully in 2024 we can get back, pardon the pun, but on track. But, you know, obviously climate change plays a significant role.
Absolutely. Marine Atlantic offered discounts for individuals who booked prior to the end of April and travel before June last year. Can tourists expect any discount travel on Marine Atlantic to attract more visitors to our province this year?
So that incentive is in place again. Okay. So Marine Atlantic did relaunch, actually, I think, at a higher value, because I think they relaunched at 25. I think the discount was 25% this shoulder season. And, you know, we would encourage Marine Atlantic again to, because they did it in the fall season as well, and certainly would hope that they will continue and do the same thing again this fall.
So we'll do it in the spring and the fall.
That was how the initiative was laid out last year, and we would hope that it would be the same. Obviously, okay. In the peak season, you know, there's always capacity challenges.
I like that proactive thinking. We, as we know, we will be hosting 2025 Canada Summer Games, and there have been several significant funding announcements. One is particularly concerning. The Aqua Arena repairs will double to $20 million, and the facility will need to be closed for 6 months. Who is on the hook for this additional cost?
The province is committed to the games. We have provided the initial $9.8 million was provided to the Canada Games Host Society. To Memorial University for the initial repairs to the Aqua Arena. We've since been able to secure the funding for the additional $10 million that gets us to roughly the $20 million number that you were accurate in quoting. We're waiting on the Class A estimate. I think it's in, but I haven't seen final numbers. But again, the investment in the Aqua Arena, yes, we can tie it to the 2025 Canada Games, but the reality is it's the only 50-meter pool in the province. If, you know, it was built for the 1977 Games, it's 50 years old. It was going to require this investment with or without the Games, and quite frankly, the Games bring the investment, but it will also revitalize that facility as our provincial, you know, the marquee provincial aquatics facility in the province. So it's much more than the Canada. This investment is much more than just the 2025 games. It's the next decades of the Aqua Arena.
And is there any estimate on how long the repairs will extend the life of the Aqua Arena?
That's not a conversation that I've had. I'm sure it's one Memorial is having with, you know, with their people. The Minister of TI is he's not leading this file. This file is being led by Memorial.
Okay.
So the current monies that have been allocated for this would be allocated to Memorial.
Just two questions left. Will this be done on time, and how bad will this affect the training of our athletes in swimming and particularly diving?
Yeah, so one of the challenges anytime you prepare for a games and you do infrastructure improvements, no matter where it is, what it is, there are disruptions. Doing everything we can to minimize the closure, but again, it's Memorial and the works that have to, you know, get in and get this project done, because quite frankly, if this work is not done now, we will sacrifice a lot of time in the future, quite frankly, where if this work is not done, you know, not in the not too distant future, we wouldn't have a facility.
Okay. And my last question is that recently we had a shutdown of the departure lounge at the airport in St. John's. Can we get an update on that, and was it tied to the construction that's currently going on in that area?
So again, you know, the St. John's Airport Authority doesn't, you know, it's a federally regulated body. I can only speak from conversations that I've had with the CEO, and I think media reports would be as accurate as anything that I could say. I think the fire was electrical in nature. I think the repairs are ongoing, I think close to completion. But, you know, we were very, extremely fortunate that it wasn't worse than it was. But, the Airport Authority, you know, is looking after that challenge.
Chair, that's it for my questions. And I'd like to say thanks to the Minister for providing answers today to our questions and to the staff that have prepared this budget for this year, and I thank you for your answers as well. And I really appreciate the work that we're doing in TCAR. Thank you.
Thank you. If the committee is ready for the question, MHA Brown, you're okay with? Okay. If the committee is ready for the question, shall 4.1.01 to 4.2.02 inclusive carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Carried.
Total?
Shall the total carry? All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Carried. Shall I report the estimates of the Department of Tourism, Culture, Arts and Recreation? Carried. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those against? Carried. MHA Dwyer, I've had an opportunity to have a few closing remarks. MHA Brown, would you
Yeah, I want to thank everybody for being here this early night, bright and early this morning to speak to this. You know, it's a very interesting department. You know, it has a lot of some of the most interesting things that people actually physically see outside of the province. So I want to thank you all for the hard work that you've all done in promoting our wonderful place. I want to thank the minister for his answers and his comments, and thanks to the chair there as well. So thank you, and hope to see you all back again this time next year.
Thank you. Minister, a few closing remarks?
I'll keep it brief, but first, obviously, I think, in my opening, but I want to thank the staff at the department for the hard work that goes into to putting together the estimates every year. It's a process that really begins in, I guess, October and ends in April or May. Thank everybody for attending this morning. Thank MHA Dwyer, MHA Brown for the questions, and look forward to the rest of the day.
Thank you, Minister. And just in closing, I too want to thank the committee members for your indulgence this morning, and just certainly thank the Minister and his department for their wonderful work. I'd like to thank Kim for her direction this morning, and the staff in the Broadcast Center as well. And with that, I will end. The meeting. Our next meeting will be Tuesday, May 2nd at 6 p.m. to consider the estimates of fisheries, forestry, and agriculture. I did see a hand up there. I assume that's on adjournment. MHA Brown. Thank you, everybody. Yep.
Thank you.